ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जायमुदीरये। We welcome everyone who's joined us online this morning. Please give them a welcome. Hare Krishna. Text to this following number. We'd like to hear from you. 650-429-8043. 650-429-8043. You can join us on WhatsApp, and that number is 650-336-7993, 650-336-7993. If you don't have WhatsApp, you can download it off the internet. Okay, again, text to 650-429-8043, or can communicate through WhatsApp at 650-336-7993. How is everyone today?
Great.
Yeah, you're great, that's for sure. I'm reading from the first canto, seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is called The Son of Drona Punished. First verse, Shaunaka Uvacha, Nirgate Narade Suta, Bhagavan Badarayanaha, Shrutavams Tad Abhipretam, Tata Kim Akarod Vivuhu. Rishi Shaunaka asked, O Suta, the great and transcendentally powerful Vyasadev heard everything from Sri Narada Muni. So after Narada's departure, what did Vyasadev do? Purport, in this chapter, the clue for describing Srimad Bhagavatam is picked up as Maharaj Parikshit is miraculously saved in the womb of his mother. This was caused by Droni Ashwatthama, Acharya Drona's son, who killed the five sons of Draupadi while they were asleep, for which he was punished by Arjuna. Before commencing the great epic Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Vyasadeva realized the whole truth by trance in devotion. Suta Uvacha, Brahma Nadyam Sarasvatyam Ashrama Paschime Tate Shamyaprasa Iti Prokta Rishinam Satra Vardanaha. Sri Suta said, on the western bank of the river Saraswati, which is intimately related with the Vedas, there is a cottage for meditation at Shamyaprasa, which enlivens the transcendental activities of the sages. purport for spiritual advancement of knowledge, a suitable place and atmosphere are definitely required. The place on the western bank of the Saraswati is especially suitable for this purpose. And there is the ashram of Vyasadeva at Shamyapras. Srila Vyasadeva was a householder, yet his residential place is called an ashrama. An ashrama is a place where spiritual culture is always foremost. It does not matter whether the place belongs to a householder or a mendicant. The whole Varnashram system is so designed that each and every status of life is called an ashram. This means that the spiritual culture is the common factor for all. That spiritual culture is the common factor for all. What's the common factor for all? The brahmacharis, the grihastas, the vanaprasas, and the sannyasis all belong to the same mission of life, namely realization of the Supreme. Therefore, none of them are less important as far as spiritual culture is concerned. The difference is a matter of formality on the strength of renunciation. The sannyasis are held in high estimation on the strength of practical renunciation. Text number 3, please repeat. Tasmin svashrame vyaso badri shandamandite asino pa upashrit prishya pranidadyao manak swayam. In that place, Srila Vyasadeva, in his own ashrama, which was surrounded by berry trees. Surrounded by what?
Berry trees.
Sat down to meditate after touching water for purification. We need some berry trees around here. Purport. Under instructions of his spiritual master, Srila Narada Muni, Vyasadeva concentrated his mind in that transcendental place of meditation. This is the key to life. One has to be able to concentrate the mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. That you have to think of me. And one has to remove the distractions from one's life so that one can think of the Lord. So there are certain places that are conducive for this. The ashrama of Srila Vyasadeva Shamyaprasa, which is a cottage surrounded by berry trees, you can imagine it's very conducive for meditation. There's no other distraction there. And one can sit and meditate on the Lord. So there is a kind of affliction that people in the modern world have, and they don't even realize that they have it, that they're so harassed by distractions throughout the day, constantly, that they're in a constant state of anxiety all the time, 24 hours a day, even while they're sleeping. And they try to balance that out by taking intoxication. And they try to balance it out by being completely absorbed in games on the internet and things like that. But the anxiety doesn't go away, it simply deepens. But here we're finding the real culture is to find a place where you can deeply meditate and think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashyat purusham purnam Mayam cha tat apashrayam. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the Absolute Personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which is under full control. Purport. Perfect vision of the Absolute Truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. One can perfectly realize the Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, only by the process of devotional service. And one can enter into the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. In perfect realization of the Absolute, by the partial approach, of the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma does not permit anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. Sri Narada advised Srila Vyasadeva to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of God and his activities. Srila Vyasadeva did not take notice of the effulgence of Brahman because that is not absolute vision. The absolute vision is the personality of Godhead as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. In the Upanishads also, it is confirmed that Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, is covered by the golden, glowing Hiranmayena Patrayena veil of impersonal Brahman. And when that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face of the Absolute is seen. The Absolute is mentioned here as the Purusha, or person. The Absolute Personality of God, it is mentioned in so many Vedic literatures, and in the Bhagavad Gita, the Purusha is confirmed as the eternal and original person. The Absolute Personality of God, it is the perfect person. The Supreme Person has manifold energies, out of which the internal, external, and marginal energies are specifically important. The energy mentioned here is the external energy, as will be clear from the statements of her activities. The internal energy is there along with the Absolute Person, as the moonlight is there with the moon. The external energy is compared to darkness because it keeps the living entities in the darkness of ignorance. The word apashrayam suggests that this energy of the Lord is under full control. The internal potency or superior energy is also called maya, but it is spiritual maya, or energy exhibited in the absolute realm. When one is under the shelter of this internal potency, the darkness of material ignorance is at once dissipated. And even those who are atmarama, or fixed in trance, take shelter of this maya, or internal energy. Devotional service or bhakti yoga is the function of the internal energy. Thus, there is no place for the inferior energy or material energy, just as there is no place for darkness and the effulgence of spiritual light. Such internal energy is even superior to the spiritual bliss attainable in the conception of impersonal Brahman. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is also an emanation from the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The Parama Purusha cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna himself, as will be explained in the later shlokas. Yaya Samohito Jiva Atmanam Trigunatmakam Paropi Manute Nartam Takritam Chabipadyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. Text 6. Anarto Pashanam Sakshad Bhakti Yogam Adhoksaje Lokasya Janato Vidvamsh Chakre Sattvata Sanghitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. 7. Yasyam vai shruyamanayam Krishne Paramapurushe Bhaktir Utpadyate Pungsa Shokamoha Bayapaha. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, it sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. 8. Sa Samhitam Bhagavatim kritvanukramya chatmajam shukam adhyapayam asa divriti niratam munihi. The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Shukadev Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Shaunaka uvacha, savai nivritti nirataha, sarvatro pikshako munihi, kasyava brantim, brihatim etam, Atma Rama Samabhyasat. Sri Shaunaka asked Sudha Goswami. Sri Shukadeva Goswami was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? Text 10. Sutta Uvacha. Atma Rama Shchamunayo. Nirgranta apyarukrame kuravantya haitukim paktim itam bhuta gunoharihi. All different varieties of atmaramas, those who take pleasure in atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, included liberated souls. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Madhatandena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Matsamo Nasti Papapma Naparadi Chakashana Parihare Pilajame Kimbruve Purushottama Yavatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata mano biramate tadvan mano miramatam twayi bumaus kalita paranam bumiriva valambanam twayi jata pararanam twameva sharanam brabo govinda balabe radhe prate tomaham sada twadiyam itijana tu govindo mam twaya saha Radhe Vrindavanadi She Karuna Vritta Mahani Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Hantayam Adriya Balaharidasa Varyo Yad Rama Krishna Charanashparasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayo Yat Paniya Suyavasakandana Kandamulai. Almost. Close. Hare Krishna. Sri Ramachandra is very attractive, especially to the human beings. It's mentioned at the last verse of the first canto, second chapter, that the Lord appears in all the different species of life. That he comes in the animal species, the plant species, the vegetable tribes, and so forth. Particularly, Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra are attractive. We see that their activities are almost human. Of course, Krishnas are more human than Lord Ramachandra. You can say, oh, that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Especially the way he adhered to the words of his father. And this is noted in the verses that Karabhajana Muni gives glorifying the Supreme Personality of God in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And there he gives a couple of verses that describe three different forms of the Lord. And the acharyas have deciphered which parts of the verses describe the different incarnations of the Lord. So in the verse, Tyaktva sudusyaja surepsita raja lakshmin dharmishta aryavachasa yadagararanyam mayam ragam dayite yepsitam anvadavad vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. Karbhajana Muni describes the three different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one. And this verse actually describes Sadbhuj. We see at Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's house, Lord Chaitanya revealed his form as Sadbhuj. What is that form? So what does it look like? Yeah, what does he have in his hands? Okay, a bow and arrow. You gave away Lord Ram pretty quickly, right?
There's a bow and arrow, there's a flute, and there's a kamandala, and a sannyasi, the danda, and one more.
Yeah, she did the three, so flute, bow and arrow, and then kamandalu, and a danda. Actually, in sign language, the deaf devotee I met, there are signs for sannyas, I think it's something like this. So this form of the Lord, Sadbhuj, has all three manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, and as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Ramachandra is described in this verse, Tyaktva sudusyata sarepshita raja lakshmim. This verse talks about the renunciation of the Supreme Lord. He has this opulence of being supremely renounced. And in the case of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the case of Sri Ramachandra, he, of course, Sita is the supreme goddess of fortune. But in the end, Ramachandra gave her up out of a principle. This is what's so aggravating about this pastime. It's like everyone was aggravated in Ayodhya. What? You can't leave? It's like, I have to. I'm like, who does that? Only God. And then there is a statement that's very powerful for all of us, that on the word of his father, he gave up the kingdom. His father gave his word to Kaikeyi. She made him give his word. And in the story, I'm always struck by how she prepared him before he said it. She said, now promise. And he said, I promise. And now promise again. Promise on the name of... He said, I promise on the name of Ram. He didn't know what he was stepping into. And said, now say it again. Now promising. Now do you really promise? She made sure that it was very, very clear, because in this world, it's very rare that someone actually keeps their word. People say things, and it's like, oh, I said that, but it was all lies. So there's a way. Yeah, I know I said it, but I didn't mean it. Aryavachasa. So this word, Aryavachasa, is very powerful in this verse, because Ramachandra takes the word, and he says, I'm following it. Now, this is very important, the Aryavachasa. So, Tyaktva sudusyaja sarepshita raja lakshmim. Dharmishta, he was fixed in dharma. Dharmishta Aryavachasa. So, because he was fixed in dharma, he took the Aryavachasa, he took the words of the superior as his life and soul. So this we can benefit from. Now, there are many ways you can live your life. You can try to avoid the miseries of material life by adjusting yourself from one place to the next. And many people do this. They change their strategy in life constantly to try to keep up with the material nature. But the devotee of the Lord doesn't change the strategy. This is also holds true in investing. If you're going to invest, you have to have a strategy. And you have to stick to it, even when the market plummets. All the people who don't have a strategy. When the market goes down, they start selling. So they buy high and sell low. This is why most people lose money. And if somebody has a strategy and they say, no, I'm just following the strategy, then they just wait it out and go through. So life goes up and down, and one must have a strategy to continually worship Krishna, no matter what, to go on following the order of Krishna and the spiritual master, no matter what happens. It doesn't seem to be good for me right now. You give up the kingdom. That doesn't seem like a good idea to anybody. Nobody thought it was, but Dharmishta Arya Vachasa. It came from the authority, therefore I follow it. That's just the way it is. I'm not changing it. And even after he went into the forest, Sri Ramchandra, and everyone came after him, including Bharat, and said, no, take it back. And there were lots of loopholes. They brought all their attorneys from Ayodhya. All the attorneys came and said, okay, we got this figured out. We have fine print where you can get out of this. And even Bharat said, you know, take it back and it's okay now. But Ram aggravated everyone again. And he said, no, my father, this stands for something. This means something. He uttered these words. He gave a vow, and I'm going to, and he asked me to follow it, so I have to follow it. And this was what Prabhupada said was his success in life, that he took Arya Vachasa, he took the words of the superior that were coming down through disciplic succession. From his guru, he got the words. He asked, he said, so what do you want me to do? What can I do to serve you? And his guru told him something that seems very simple and innocuous. But the Arya Vachasa, the words of the superior, are not innocuous. They're very powerful. They're the fulcrum of all power in spiritual life. That one takes those and follows them no matter what happens. And even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, things are going to change. Matra sparshas tukonteya shitoshna sukadukada agama paino nityas tamstitikshashva bharata. That there is going to be ups and downs in this world, so you have to stick to the strategy, and that is to go on doing your devotional service, whether it seems like an opportune time or not. And this is the success in life. And Lord Ramachandra taught this. He is attractive also, as I said, because he appears to be very human. And there's a way in which he shows his emotions throughout the Ramayana. Right? There's so many emotions. I mean, practically, one who reads the beginning section of the Ramayana, it's very hard to continue. The part that always gets me is when Ram's leaving the Ayodhya, and all the citizens come and they say, no, stop. And he's saying, no, keep going, go faster. This tension that is there between the citizens whose hearts are being ripped away when Ram is leaving. And Ram loved them like his own self. His devotees he loves even more than his own self, he says in the Bhagavatam. And so this separation that's happening because he's following Arya Vachasa and he said, I have to go. But they're saying, no, slow down so they can come closer, they can touch him one more time, they can see his chariot. And he's saying, go faster, this is just drawing the whole thing out. And even when they get to the forest, they meet Guha, who puts them up for the night in the forest and feeds the horses and takes care of them. And then they have to leave early in the morning because all the citizens are coming out to follow them into the forest. And unless they do something tricky, waking up very early and going across the river, losing the tracks, it looks like they go one way but they went the other way, then they would simply follow them all the way into the forest. So these are heart-rending stories about the devotees and Sri Ram. And so it's not that as many people say, the Supreme Lord is impersonal. This has ruined everything, Prabhupada said, this understanding. This has ruined everything. Can you put up Bhagavad Gita 3:37, please? We have emotions eternally, and so does the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's Bhagavad Gita 3:37. Yeah. One devotee was telling me that after he had become a devotee, he went home to visit his mother, who was very much against his becoming a devotee and arguing against Krishna consciousness. He said, "But, Mom, you don't even believe in God." And she says, "I do too." And he said, "So who is he?" And he goes, "Well, God's a feeling." And she was serious. And he said, "If God's a feeling, then you're better than God is, because you're more than a feeling." And if you ask people anywhere, what is God? Who is God? They'll give you answers like this. God is a feeling. God is. You've been out there. You're talking to people. What do they say? He is light. Light. That's beautiful. That's your truth. I have my truth. He's what? Nature. God is nature. Energy. Just energy. These are all conveniently vague. Vague ideas of the absolute truth. Even in Christianity, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there's such a vagueness about who actually is the Supreme Godhead. Who is it? Yes, Jesus, whom we offer our hearts to, but where's the Godhead? Where is that description that gives us a clear idea? And there's also an implication by the impersonalists that when you become perfect, that means you have no more emotions, you have no more thoughts. And this is also very much pervading society these days. If you haven't noticed, when people think about yoga or the path of spiritual self-realization, they think, oh, you shouldn't have any feelings. Giriraj Maharaj tells a story about how this very enthusiastic young man came to see Prabhupada after one of the pandals in Bombay. And when he came in, very effusive, and he was saying that this Krishna consciousness spread all over the world, then everyone will live in peace and harmony, and there will be no more anger in the world. And Prabhupada said, what have you got against anger? And so, what is this idea you have? What have you got against anger? And the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kama esha krodha esha rajo guna samud bhavaha mahashano mahapatma vidyenam ihavarinam. So someone might rightly answer, well, it's right here in the Bhagavad Gita. The Supreme Personality of God had said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion, later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. See? It's bad. Therefore, you should become nothing. Let's read the purport. When a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. It's transformed into lust. See, it's already there. It's not that it's not there. Or in other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust as milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. Then again, when lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath. Wrath is transformed into illusion, and illusion continues the material existence. Therefore, lust is the greatest enemy of the living entity, and is lust only which induces the pure living entity to remain entangled in the material world. Wrath is the manifestation of the mode of ignorance. These modes exhibit themselves as wrath and other corollaries. If, therefore, the mode of passion, instead of being degraded into the mode of ignorance is elevated to the mode of goodness by the prescribed method of living and acting, then one can be saved from the degradation of wrath by spiritual attachment. So that's the real answer. And the positive form of this emotion, anger, and hankering, all these things come out in the Ramayana. Where's the anger in the Ramayana? Hanuman, Lakshman. Lakshman becomes so angry when Ram says, our father has said that I have to leave the kingdom behind and go for 14 years. What a shock, anyway, that on the day everyone's getting ready, that all of a sudden everything changes. And we can expect this. You should expect this in your life. Everyone should expect it. When life looks like Easy Street, there's danger at your door. Is a lyric from an old song. Now, they're ready for crowning Ram, and then the news comes. They see him walk out of the meeting. He goes into a meeting with his mother, with his stepmother, and with his father, and he comes out barefooted, and he won't ride on the royal chariot, and things start to seem amiss. And then when he goes to see his mother and tells her what the news is, that I'm not going to become the king, I'm leaving instead. I'm impressed always by how straightforward he is. He just said, this is the way it is. I'm following this. And as soon as his father told him, he just accepted it. He just accepted it. But then Lakshman becomes like fire. He's so angry. He said, let them try to stop us. I'll fight them all down now. Father has lost his mind anyway. What kind of king is he to go along with his wife who's simply deranged, and he's following this ill-advised path, and he becomes like fire. And even after Ramachandra tries to appease him, he's still like fire. And so you said also Hanuman, when did he become angry? Right, so he made it to Lanka, and he got captured in Lanka. And when they captured him, Bibhishan said, you can't kill him because he's a messenger. But they tied him up. They put rags on his tail. They put oil on it, and they lit it on fire. But Agni made that fire feel cool. Meanwhile, Hanuman was angry. He had this emotion. He was angry that Ravan had stolen Sita and they wouldn't give her back. And now they're trying to torture the messenger. So he jumped from one place to another and lit the place on fire. That doesn't sound very spiritual. But it is. This is the positive side of spiritual life. Means there are emotions. There are activities. And they're in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The difference, as we see from this verse, is when those same emotions, those same activities become detached from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are directed in this world for one's own interests, then they become degrading. And there is the mistake that people make. Because they see that degrading influence, they think, let me make it zero. So the appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to show people, no, actually the spiritual world is full of emotion, full of movement, personality. Everything's there. Here's the reflection in the material world. And it's because of our involvement in the material world that we think then that all kinds of feelings are disconnected from spiritual realization. And therefore Krishna says, Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mamupashrita bhavo jnana tapaso putama bhava magataha. That you have to give up this misconception this fear of personal existence and become purified by knowledge about me. So by hearing about Krishna's pastimes, the positive form, how Lord Ramachandra comes, and hearing about his emotions, his activities with the devotees and so forth, then one becomes captivated and one's mind becomes interested in hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one also takes the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has some guidance in one's life. One has a strategy that one can follow. So this emotion plus service is bhakti. You have to have the emotion and the service has to be there. This is active cultivation on two levels. One level with the body, mind, and senses. The other is an internal level. And that's described by Srila Rupa Goswami at the outset of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he says, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmanyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. And the word anushilanam is very specific. It contains the verb shil, which is indicative of both cultivation internally through feelings for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these emotions that naturally awaken because they're already part of our eternal constitutional makeup, and also external cultivation by engaging the senses in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And hearing about Krishna is, and Lord Ramachandra, all the different incarnations of the Lord, is the most beneficial process. As we've heard here, Srila Vyasadeva has approached his spiritual master and asked him why he felt despondent, why he feels despondent, and his spiritual master tells him that you have to be more specific. You have to hear more specifically about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you have to describe it, because your duty, you're doing your service, but you're not doing it well enough. That's why you're feeling morose. You have to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead in detail. And therefore, Vyasadeva goes into deep meditation, and then he sees for himself the Supreme Lord and his energies. And then he describes him in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who else was able to go into a trance and narrate the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's specifically relevant today? Huh? Valmiki. And the name of Ram is so powerful. As mentioned in all the Shastras, the name of Ram, everyone say Ram.
Ram,
Ram, Ram.
Ram, Ram, Ram.
That one can overcome birth and death by repeating this name. Therefore, we have Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And Valmiki Muni, far from being like Vyasadeva, was a hunter. Vyasadeva is an incarnation of God and supremely empowered. Valmiki, on the other hand, was a hunter who used to rob people. I hate that when that happens, people rob you. I mean, it disturbs a lot of people. Besides, he was violent about it also. He said he was a murderer. He was a hunter. And he was in a degraded situation of life. And then he met his spiritual master, who convinced him through his strong preaching that you're becoming implicated by all this and you're taking back, why are you doing it? Feed your family. Are they going to stand up for you later on when you take all this karma? And he started to come to his senses. But again, he needed some practice in order to overcome the kind of momentum he had in the material life. There's a kind of muscle memory that we have, isn't it? You may think, I'm going to follow the process very strictly today. And next thing you know, you're half an hour late. as you got distracted in something that was insignificant or useless. I mean, that's a best case scenario. There are worst case scenarios also. And very difficult, even for those who are sincerely engaged in devotional service, to go through a lifetime of strictly following. I wrote down three words that really caught my attention in one of, from Vrana Prabhupada's purports. Nope, they're a little different. He writes, sincerely, regularly, and as far as possible, one should follow. Sincerely, regularly, and as far as possible. And this is another important point that I want to bring up today about sincerely, regularly, and as far as possible. That the principle that Narada Muni used to elevate his disciple, Valmiki Muni, he wasn't a Muni, he was a low-class person. How did he elevate him? Somehow or other. Yena tena prakarena Krishna mana niveshayat. It's mentioned by Rupa Goswami that this is the way you must come to Krishna consciousness and bring others to Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other, you have to devise a mean. And the rule is that you have to start with hearing about Krishna. The rules and regulations, don't sit like that, don't do that. People often come to a Krishna consciousness movement and then people walk up to them constantly and start telling them what not to do. That's why in the old days, in the bhakti programs, there was a rule that nobody could talk to him. In fact, they didn't even trust the rule. They would keep the bhaktas so sequestered for the first 60, 90 days, I forget how many there were, that they would come down from their room. I was in 340 West 55th in 55th Avenue in that 12-story building that Prabhupada bought in Manhattan. If we still had it, we'd be billionaires. In any case, everyone had their own floor, and one floor was for the new devotees, and the bhakta leaders would bring them down like they were herding sheep, and they would be protecting them from the wolves, who are all the other devotees. There were about 120 devotees in that living in that ashram, in that building, and they couldn't talk to anybody. They would just be cultivated, because everyone will come up and say, hey, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And if, in any case, in the beginning of devotional service, one somehow or other has to fix one's mind on Krishna. So Narada Muni was so expert that with Valmiki Muni, who said, I've had this muscle memory, I can't chant Hare Krishna, I can't say the name of Ram, because I'm too sinful. Have you ever heard that before? Have you? Has anybody ever told you that? I can't do devotional service. I shouldn't do devotional service. I can't do devotional service. I'm too sinful. Or we've had lots of people say, I won't. We say, please say Hare Krishna. And they say, I won't say Hare Krishna. I won't say it. I won't say it. You know, then you say, you won't say what? Hare Krishna. Okay. This is Narada Muni's technique. What won't you say? Well, I'm a killer. You know, I'm a murderer. I just, Mara, that's my whole life. I said, okay, just keep saying that. What did you say? Mara? What was that? Mara? What? I can't hear it. A little hard of hearing. Mara, 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 Mara. Keep going, you know. Somehow keep going was the way that Narada Muni taught Valmiki Muni. This shows the power of Ram in his name. If one continues. Now listen to Prabhupada's explanation of this verse. This will enliven you to no end. You'll never be the same after you hear this. He quotes the verse, Yena tena prakarena mana krishne niveshayat sarve viti nishedha syur etayor eva kinkara, which he says, if one takes to that line of activities, Krishna consciousness, then all things, all regulation will follow just like a servant follows a master. If the master starts, the servant follows. Similarly, these things, rules and regulations, that will follow automatically. In the next shloka, the Lord says, Shri Pram Dharma, because he has taken to that Krishna consciousness, very soon he will be perfect, pious man. This process will help him. Don't be too much anxious. Oh, I am not in such a way. I am not in such a way. Whatever way you may be, you just take to this Krishna consciousness. Very easy thing. If you take this Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, very sincerely and regularly and as far as possible. Very
sincerely
and as far as possible. Very sincerely and regularly and as far as possible. By following the rules and regulation of this Krishna consciousness, that will help you become a perfect and pious man very soon. Shri Pram. Shri Pram means very soon. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure where it's from. We'll have to search it out. Sincerely, regularly, and as far as possible. So, he, Valmiki Muni, after having this contact with Narada Muni, was able to go into a similar kind of trance where he was able to personally see the pastimes. Of course, after chanting for a long time. But it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that Maharaj Chitraketu, because he gave full attention for 7 days and seven nights without even drinking water and just chanting, was able to see the Lord Shankarshan within 7 days. And so it's not a matter of length of time necessarily, it's a matter of the sincerity of the chanting. But also, at the same time, from whatever situation one's in now, one should continue chanting so one can develop that kind of sincerity. So this Ram Nam, the name of Ram, this we can take with us wherever we go. If we, like Valmiki, go on chanting somehow or other the name of Ram and the names of Krishna constantly, then we'll be able to come to this perfectional stage. And what is a perfectional stage? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanari Shuddha Chitte Karai Udoi. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This perfectional stage is achieved by purification process, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Shravanari Shuddha Chitte Karai Udoi. And then the natural potential for loving Krishna that's already there, when it comes in contact with this, with the devotees, that will reawaken and one will be established again in one's healthy condition of life, which is to have all the emotions, but they're all directed towards Krishna. In the story of Lord Ramachandra, there's a particular pastime. I'm not sure if it's in the Ramayana, but it is mentioned in the Shastra about how the sages at Dandakaranya, who were worshipping Gopal, happened to be there at the time of Ramachandra. And when he came into that forest, they just couldn't stop looking at him because he's so beautiful. This is one of the attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is his beauty. So beautiful, you can't stop looking at him. It's mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, in the city of Navadvip, before he went off and cut his hair, took sannyas. That was another emotional thing. Just cutting his hair off, the barber for days, he couldn't even touch the hair, and the devotees were crying and crying. When they hear the story still about the Lord cutting his hair, they cry and cry. The pastime. There's so much emotion attached to these pastimes. So the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of his great opulences. And the sages at Dandakaranya, they're called the Rishicharis. They were there meditating and they saw Ramachandra, and then they were desiring the same way that the gopis in Vrindavan had desired to be with Krishna. They wanted to be with Ramachandra. There's a mantra that they said, actually. It's a simple mantra. Yeah, does anybody remember? They had asked that, let us be as Sita is. This was their thought, that they want to be in the same situation as Sita Devi. In any case, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead knows the heart of every living entity, and they had this strong desire that we want to be women like Sita Devi and be her consort. But Ramachandra, in his appearance, only accepted one wife. So he was silent, but he accepted their desire. And in their next lives, these Rishi Charis are famous because they took birth in Gokula, in the families of gopis. And when they came to puberty, then their intense desire, Purvarag, came out for Lord Krishna by the arrangement of Lord Ramachandra. So there's a way in which, by this process of Krishna consciousness, as mentioned by Rupa Goswami, one comes to the point of such strong emotion directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead that it becomes very specific. Let me worship you in this way. It's not to be imitated. This comes as a matter of purification and a natural course. In the same token, there are devotees like Anupam, who was the father of Jiva Goswami, who was convinced intellectually that worshipping Radha and Krishna was the highest kind of worship. Who were they convinced by? Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And yes, I will take your Krishna mantra. And he went and he tried and he couldn't sleep all night. And he came back and he said, I tried, but I've sold my head at the feet of Lord Raghunath. I cannot give him up. And same with Murari Gupta, great friend of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Growing up, they were so close. Murari Gupta was a few years older than Mahaprabhu, 2 years older. And he was a few more classes advanced from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nimai Pandit used to go around challenging everybody. And Nimai was studying grammar, which was a lower kind of study, and Murari Gupta was already studying rhetoric. So Nimai would challenge him, say, okay, let's have a debate about grammar. And then he would be defeated, and then Murari would start arguing about rhetoric. He said, Nimai would defeat him on that also. But it's described in the Chaitanya Bhagavad how close they were. And then during the Mahaprakash, he called Murari Gupta and revealed that Murari Gupta was Hanuman, and he wrote on his forehead Ramdas. And this kind of firm devotion, he wasn't able to change the kind of emotion that he had for Lord Ramachandra. That was his sthayi bhav. He was fully fixed in that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much appreciative of that. There's another devotee of Lord Ram that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met. We know when Mahaprabhu went to South India, he was chanting these mantras, Krishna, 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 hey. And within that set of mantras, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam, this is when we're singing this mantra, we're really, what it really means is, this is the path of Sharanagati. I remember when we were on Sankirtan and we were carrying around that mantra, Anukulyena Sankalpa Pratikulyena Varjanam, Rakshishititi Vishvaso Guptrite Varanam Tata. Karpa Atma Nishepa Karpa Nye Shadvida Sharanagati. This describes the path of surrender. And very important in that is that the Lord is my protector and maintainer. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas, he went to South India, and he was praying like this, "Oh Lord Raghunath, please protect me. You're my protector, nobody else." These are two of the very important tenets of this path of Sharanagati, that the Lord is my maintainer and protector. So he met, as he was traveling, a brahmana named Ramdas Vipra. And Ramdas Vipra was so much absorbed in this kind of devotional service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated, that he invited Mahaprabhu for lunch. And Mahaprabhu could see after some time, he's not cooking. So he said, "So are we going to cook? Is it?" And he said, "Lakshman has not come back from the forest with the roots. He's gone off to collect roots in the forest. He's not come back." And Mahaprabhu was, "Oh, look, this is a Ram Bhakta. He's so absorbed. He's absorbed in that pastime." And then this Ramdas Vipra, he became very emotional by saying, "How can we eat anyway? Sita has been stolen by Ravana. We can't even think of eating now." And Mahaprabhu convinced him from Shastra. He said, "It is said in the Shastra that actually Sita was never touched. That as soon as she was apprehended or about to be apprehended by Ravana, then Agni took the real Sita and the Maya Sita was handed over to Ravana. He got a replica, not the real Sita." And then he was, Ramdas Vipra, appeased just enough so he could cook lunch. But so touching how Mahaprabhu then, when he was traveling, he found in the Kurma Purana, I mean, Shastras weren't on Veda base and not so available. You had to go around and find them in various places. So Mahaprabhu found in another place, part of the Kurma Purana, that told this exact technicality that he had explained to Ramdas Vipra. And he took the page because he was so eager to show this devotee.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey! Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.